Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Thank you.
And you were listening to me talking on the radio with someone about dogs recently.
Yeah, well, and that, I was. I was actually listening to the to you, so that's really good, I think, for listeners to know. I actually do listen to this station as well as speak on it.
Okay.
And what was the name of
Talking Dogs is
Talking
a feature
dogs.
That we have
fantastic.
In the mornings.
Yeah.
And I talk about dog issues. We talked about just about everything there is, although I don't know that I've ever talked to the gal about what you're going to talk to us today about, which is dog trust.
Yeah, that may not be
not
her
trusting
expertise.
Your dog, but but actually putting your dog in your will and how to take care of him after you're gone.
Oh goodness, yes, and boy, people love their pets, don't they?
Yeah.
And so, therefore, it really is a necessary topic when we think through our estate plan. Now, we're not going to like this next word, which is according to the law. Because I am a lawyer, so I have to give you some of the law at least, is that pets are just personal property, so they're not real human beings, even though we treat them like they are. And like everything else in your estate, they really need to be accounted for. Mm. I can tell you some stories, as a matter of fact, I will, of what happens when pets are not a part of the estate plan. So we ask clients, do you have pets? Is there any specific instructions you want to give? And many times people just kind of laissez-faire go over the issue of pets. And then there's a couple clients where pets are their life, and I get it. And so if you're one of those people where pets are your life, well, this show is for you. And
yeah,
so it's going to be good.
We've been told by friends before that you're going to get Fido when I die. You know, and
yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know, that's right.
Like, I don't know if I want that responsibility or not.
Yeah,
so,
really. It's like I like pets, but I'm not sure I like your pets.
Right.
So that could be a whole different story.
Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So yeah, that's what we're going to talk about is, well, what are some of the practical things? What are some of the legal things? Because remember, any part of estate planning, there's always a practical component, but there's also a legal component that we have to make sure that they blend together and ensure that we're taking care of the things that we love, which would include our children. It would include our pets, and then we have to take everything else, all of our personal property. We need to make sure all of our finances are blended into the estate plan. And I've actually never done a show on pets. So this is a first for us. This is going to be
fun. But you have done this in your practice.
I have.
Accounted for pets.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're not talking about people who like leave millions of dollars in a trust for a pet.
Well, why not?
You hear those stories of the really wealthy people in New York and their apartment, and they have their own army of people to take care of the pet.
Yeah, that's right. So depending on how much money is in that darn trust, we could be keeping Fido on life support for a long time. But no, it's not that. It's a very practical approach. And we want to make sure that whatever people care about, that part of their life is put into their estate plan. So people care about many different things. Mm-hmm. People have hobbies of vehicles and they care about their vehicles. Well, then I have clients that want to make sure that vehicles get to certain people. Mm-hmm. I have clients that care about their cabins. I have people who care about missions. I have mm-hmm. people who care about many things across the board. And, well, pets are certainly one of these
Absolutely.
Things that people
Absolutely.
Care about. So, well, why don't we talk
okay,
about it.
Okay, let's talk about the first issue. What are some of the first things we need to consider if we have pets?
Well, and number one is that we need to remember that we do have pets when we talk about estate planning, is that we really shouldn't have a laissez-faire attitude about passing over them. We need to make sure that we do plan. Like everything that I've always talked about in this show, is that the first step is that you have to stop and think about what you do have and what you want to accomplish. Well, if you have pets and you care for them and you love them and you want to make sure that they're well taken care of, well, the first step is we have to think about that specific issue. And so we want to make sure that we don't bypass that we have pets, because there's two situations where our pets are going to need to be cared for. Well, the first one that we talk about and think about in estate planning is what happens if I die? So therefore, I'm not coming back to take care of my pets and animals. And the other one that we don't think quite as much about is what happens if we have a serious health issue? And what happens if I can't take care of my own pet? Do I already have a plan in place? Have I already thought through all the different scenarios? Because I've had clients who've been both of these situations to where they have a serious health issue and they can no longer take care of a pet. So they need someone to come in and help with the pet immediately and even reposition and get the pets placed right now versus I've had clients who have passed away with pets. So we have to look at both of these issues and make sure that our pets are going to be well taken care of.
Well, and then the next scenario would be, do you tell that person that they're on the list to take care of Fido when you pass? And I'm not kidding. I've had people say, fortunately, the dog, she didn't pass away. The parent didn't pass away, but she said if she passed away anytime soon, we were going to get her big German Shepherd.
Yeah.
And I was going, boy, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. And so I relate and I think through pets as if it's a child. So I've done quite a few shows on how to think through naming a guardian. And so if you have minor children, who receives the child and who's going to caretake the child? And then what about the finances? So pets are very much like a child to many people. We pour out our time, our emotion, our finances over our pets. And so a lot of the same things that we think through in guardianship issues with children, we have to think through here. So number one is, who are you thinking about naming as a pet representative? Mm-hmm. Does that person even know that they're going to be on the list? Have you gotten feedback from them, just like your response? Well, I don't know if I really want to be named as the pet. I have seen where a client passes away, and we actually did name a person in the plan to take care of the pet. And then as soon as I call them, because oftentimes I'm stepping in when I hear a client passes away, I look through the file. Okay, we have a pet. We need to address a more immediate need at the house than just making sure that it's locked and that it doesn't get broken into and things like that. Well, we actually have a living thing there that needs assistance more quickly than other things. So, and I've made the phone calls, and it's just like, well, I really don't want that pet. Right. Your response, right? And so now all of a sudden, we're in a pickle because the person never took the time to ensure that the individual they named was a willing participant. Mm. And in this particular situation that happened recently, the person's situation changed. Well, she actually did mention it, but I can't do it anymore. Well, it's because the plan was created a while back and they had never talked about the issue again. And oftentimes, unfortunately, we pass away unexpectedly. Mm. Yeah, there's times when we're struggling with health issues and we see it coming down the pike. But oftentimes, you know, death catches us by surprise. So if we don't have a good conversation and we don't have a good person waiting in the wings, then our plan might not be successful.
So those things should be worked out in advance. You mentioned also some financial provisions in an estate plan, and I mentioned it too, the scenario where someone has like millions of dollars set aside to take care of a pet. This could get a little complicated.
Well, sure, it can. Finances are just one component. And so,
because you can hire somebody to take care of the pet if you have that kind of money.
Well, you can. Think about, I'm heading out on vacation. And so if you head out on vacation and you can't take your pet with you for a week, what do you do? Well, there are things you have to prepare. There are places that can caretake for your pet, whether short term or long term. Now, that's not a really great death situation connection. But yes, if you're going to be taking on the responsibility for someone, that can take place. But, you know, even before we get to finances, we got to make sure that the right person is selected. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the right person first, which is Does that person have experience with pets, or is this going to be a new pet owner? You've had pets. You've had dogs for a long time, correct?
Yes.
And you've probably seen or heard of people's first experience with pets. So my family has a dog. His name is Charlie. He's a golden retriever.
He's been kind of a challenge for you, hasn't he?
Oh, not for me, my daughter, because she's the one who takes care of him.
I thought it was her dog, and then she moved out of state and left him with you.
Or? No. She took Charlie, so he was only with us for a short period of time, but now he is down in California. Right. But no, he's a fantastic dog. I mean, really, he's nicknamed the best because golden retrievers just have that personality. Sure. They want to please. They're good dogs. As a matter of fact, when Charlie was in our home, if you would have broken into our home, he would have gladly followed you home. There's no watchdog in him at all. Yeah. But I can tell you, as first-time pet owners with my girls, even though they're in their 20s, there is a really big learning curve to being a pet owner, a really big learning curve. Now, you've had multiple pets. We've
always had Labradors. We're on to our second Labrador in our married life.
Yeah, and so having a second pet come in, it's like, I've done this before. Yeah. It's not quite as steep of a learning curve bringing in a second pet.
Right.
So does the person that you want to care for your pet, do they even have experience in this? Are they willing? And remember, pets are emotional creatures. And so I remember my daughter recently, she went on a longer vacation actually with me, and she came back and Charlie had been with her roommate for a longer period of time, and then her roommate very quickly went on vacation. Mm. So Charlie, because he had been with Gabriella's roommate for the past month only, he went to the roommate's room every night and just sat by her bed when she took off for the next couple of weeks. Mm. And it's now my daughter was quite offended at this, as you might imagine. Mm. So the whole point is that there is a separation anxiety that pets can go through.
Absolutely.
And so are you ready to take on that as well? How about the person that you've named as a pet representative? Are they retired? Do they work? Can they add another pet to their home if they already have pets? Mm-hmm. So if they're retired, there may be a little more space for that transition. But if they work and they have a lot of work, they're gone for many hours in the day, what does that mean to them to take on the responsibility? Mm-hmm. So have you had these conversations? And this is why when I talk about pets or think about pets, there is such a close relationship of the same conversations that I have with minor children. What would it look like if somebody took on a teenager in their life and they're retired, or grandparents take on their grandchildren out of the blue? What does that look like? It's the same thing with a pet. It may not be quite the same connection, but you understand the point. So the person who is going to take over caring for your pet, do they have the financial capacity? We'll get back to that here right after break. We're almost up against a break. But can they afford to feed the pet? Can they afford pet insurance? Can they afford vet bills? Are you passing off a healthy pet? Are you passing off a pet that's much older, that has health issues? Mm. Are you passing off a new pet that is energetic, and you're passing that pet off to an elderly person who likes to kick their feet up? And so the personalities are completely different. Do you have multiple pets and they need to go together? And what if you have larger pets, like a Great Dane or a larger dog? That may not be conducive to a smaller apartment living. Yeah. So what are the living conditions of the person that you are thinking about passing this off? What if you have large animals, horses or cattle, and other things that you need to transition? So as we think about pets and we think about the person that you would want to take care of them? Yes, I would definitely want their input. Are they ready for this? Are they positioned? Because knowing that information then helps us create the plan that will make sure that your pet is well taken care of so that your estate plan will actually work. Unlike a couple of the scenarios I've seen to where the person put up the stop sign and go, I'm not in a position to actually care for that animal. We have to find an alternative. And so therefore, we got to make sure everything
works.
I would
think would be a scenario that comes up a lot. I mean, it's hard enough to find we've been talking about fiduciaries and people who can take care of your estate after you're gone. But the pet is a whole other issue. You can't just assume that the executor is going to be the one that takes your pet.
And if it's silent, then that's the person who has the authority. And I know for the pet lovers out there, you don't want me to tell you what the final destination is if we can't find a good home and transition the pet. And so, so we do need to think through these things. We need to make sure that the person is on board, and we need to look at their specific situation and make sure that the plan is going to blend with everything that you care about, including your pets.
Okay, we'll get back into more of some of these details after the break here, but real quick, people are intrigued by even this approach to estate planning that you have to include pets, and people want to find out more about your services. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, talking with Paul about having your pets in your estate plan. And this is a real important thing. A lot of people, particularly maybe elderly people, that's all they've got in their life when they are getting ready to pass away, is a beloved pet.
That's right. And you're very emotionally attached to your pets. I get it.
And you want to make sure they're taken care of. Talked about the kind of person maybe you want to tap on the shoulder for this. But now also some ways to set up some financial structure to take care of that pet. What are some things that go into this plan?
Yeah, because we are passing off an expense to somebody because it costs money to take care of a pet. You have to feed them. You have to make sure that they're well taken care of. If you have vacation plans or want to leave on vacation, how do you pay for someone to care for the pet? Vet bills. Boy, if the pet is older, that can get expensive in a hurry, can it not? If you have to take your pet to a vet nowadays. And so, so all of these things matter, and we need to make sure that the finances are thought through, and we got to make sure that they're a part of the consideration. So I've done plans in multiple ways, which is here's the pet, and I'm just going to write you a check, and I hope it's enough. Now, that could work with some pets, but my concern from the estate planning side is what if that person cannot afford to then financially support beyond that one-time gift? Now, we can sit around and pontificate on how much it would cost to take care of a pet. So is $5,000 enough if you have an older pet? Maybe, maybe not, depending on whether that pet has those health issues. Is $10,000, is $20,000, is $30,000, $50,000? I don't know. And that's part of the problem, is that if we assign a specific dollar amount as well as the pet, We're kind of rolling the dice that either we overshot it and we had to overshoot the money. And if that's one of your best friends and you go, I don't care. If they get a little extra money and they took on, my beloved pet, then that's great. It's okay that I give them more than what they need. Or maybe you're giving it to a person who can financially afford it and it's really not a big deal. You guys have talked and it's like, don't worry about the money. We'll just make sure the pet is taken care of. Great. Not a problem. Then maybe a specific sum will be acceptable and that'll work. In most scenarios, believe it or not, we can set up a trust and to make sure that money is held and reserved because, like people, pets are unpredictable. I don't know if that pet is going to pass away peacefully or whether they're going to have a string of health emergencies that cost a lot more money. So setting aside money and then making sure that that money, if it's not used, gets back to the individuals or charities or others that you want it to get back to can be a possibility as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, how can you enforce that? You're gone now, and maybe you give them a lump sum of $5,000, $10,000, and they say, actually, I decided I'm just going to put the pet to sleep, and I'm going to keep that money myself.
Yep.
How do you enforce that? Or
you don't. So that is another risk factor if you just write a check. If you say, right, okay, I'm going to give $5,000 and my pet to Paul. And then Paul goes, okay, great. I got $5,000. See ya.
I'm just going to give him to the pound.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm going to put him up for adoption or put him down or whatever the case may be. And there is no control in that. Yeah. So therefore, setting up a trust does have boundaries and it does have rules to follow so that if the money is not going to be used for the care of the pet, that it actually it doesn't pull in that unfortunate motivation that says, I've got money, don't need the pet.
Okay.
Right?
So you can have some safeguards for that.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. And as a matter of fact, in Washington, we can set up a pet trust, believe it or not. So that's pretty
cool.
Well,
does that look like? What is a pet trust?
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting thing. In common law, pet trusts were not recognized. So Washington State, if you want to look it up, if you like research, you can look up RCW 11.118. So Washington State has actually taken the step to make sure that pet trusts are enforceable. And so good on them. So there is a specific statute that deals with trusts for pets because we recognize that people actually care for their pets and we need to make sure the money is going to be used. So Washington has an intentional law to make sure that any money that you leave for a pet is going to be used for that pet or multiple pets' care. Now, there's a couple things that we have to see in developing a trust for a pet, which is number one. One of the differences between setting up a trust for a person, so minor children, beneficiaries, whatever the case may be, is that there's a lot of accounting that you have to go through. So the trustee would be responsible to trace all the money, make sure that the money is properly spent, and then make a report to the beneficiary. That's because we have a living person that is able to call out the trustee if they're using the money inappropriately. So in a pet trust, that is actually removed. The trustee does not have as high of a duty to follow the money and trace the money. And also in a pet trust, you must specifically name pets. So in other words, I would be cautious about just saying, I'm setting up this for my pets. I would want a little more specificity actually in the trust. I would want to make sure that
you name the pet. Barley.
That would be my
okay.
Style.
The Charlie.
That's right. Got to take care of Charlie. Got to make sure he's well taken care of because he's the best boy. So naming pets or the type of pets that this is going to be used for. Now, if you bring pets in and out of your home a lot, you have the milk dish outside your front door, and all of a sudden you take on all the neighborhood cats, that may or may not be sufficient to raise to this level. So we need to be specific and make sure that the pet trust is going to work properly. And you mentioned, well, how do we enforce it? Well, the beneficiaries, the ultimate individual individuals that if we don't use all the finances left for pets, they have the right to then make sure that the money is going to be used in a proper manner. So the law says that the money can only be used for reasonable trustee expenses and trustee payments. So reasonable, you're not going to be able to pay yourself $1,000 an hour to take care of the pet.
Right.
So that's not reasonable at all. And reasonable expenses. Okay. So I put the pet in the car and went around and drove to California and back. Nope. You're not going to get that as an expense right off. So therefore, the beneficiaries, the ultimate people who are going to take, receive the extra money out of the pet trust, they have the legal right to make sure the trustee is acting properly. So, you know, this is a big deal. We need to make sure that we get the right people. This is the bottom line. We need to make sure that the right people are in place to care for your pet. We need to make sure that there's enough finances and that it's done well to ensure that your pet is going to be cared for long term. And that at the end of the day, if the pet does not end up using the funds, that there's an easy mechanism to get it to the right people or the right organizations. So we do need to make sure that your pets are well taken care of. This is a part of estate planning. We don't want to overlook it. People love their pets. I love my dog, even though my dog has escaped to California with my daughter. But I still love him. He's still the best boy. And we want to make sure that our pets are going to be well cared for. They are important in our lives.
Considering your pets in your estate planning, it is important more than maybe you thought before this show. And now that you're intrigued, you want to find out more how Paul can help you. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, let's take care of your entire estate plan and not just your pets. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. You can find past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.